Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello and welcome to the All Time Conspiracies podcast, where every week we look at the strange and the weird and the wonderful and the spectacular. With me today are Martin.
Bonjour.
And Alex.
Hello there.
And as always, we're looking at some fresh news items that have been in the news this week. We'll be looking at the kind of stories behind the stories, if that makes sense. And we'll also be looking at a slightly older piece that we may have covered on the channel before, or we may not have. So Martin, you'll be looking at a news item this week.
I will.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at cryptocurrencies and the IMF's delving into them.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Alex, what have you got for us?
Well, I'm going to be looking at an ancient computer, and it was discovered on the bottom of the ocean floor from ancient Rome, and it's 2,200 years old.
That's incredible. Yeah.
And
that's amazing.
It's going to be looking at an update in that story that happened the other day where they think they found a missing part of it.
Oh, wow.
Sounds pretty crazy.
Oh, that's great. Mine's also technology related. I'll be looking at a little known station called HARP in Alaska.
Heart.
Which I'm
HARP. As in the musical
Heart
instrument.
FM.
Station.
Heart FM.
Can it control the weather or can it control your mind?
Oh, very good.
We'll be finding out, maybe, hopefully.
That's one of my favourite conspiracies. I love it.
It is a good one. It is a good one. And as always, we'll have a special quiz provided for us today by Alex.
Yeah, I've got a little quiz, and we're going to be discussing some of the wild news this week is going to be involved in the quiz, along with some conspiracy-related topics. But yeah, I believe it's you guys facing off this week.
Who won? Well, hopefully you're not doing your own quiz.
You won last time, didn't you? You beat me last time.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think Alex beat me, I beat you. I think we'll beat each other, I think.
So Robin's got everything to prove this week.
Oh.
Yeah.
You mean after the trouncing I gave you last week?
Just hoping you'd forgotten about that.
Well, let's get started with our first news item. Mr. Alex, what do you have for us?
Well, yeah, so like I said, we're going to be talking about the Antikythera mechanism, it's known.
What language is that?
Greek was.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's English. That's the name of it. So it's an ancient computer that was discovered in 1901, and no one knew what it was until 50 years afterwards, when we actually started inventing computers.
Oh, wow.
So basically, it's thought to be 2,200 years old, and it's this really intricate mechanism, and for years, no one knew what it did. But they think it's used to measure the kind of the solar system and estimate when lunar cycles are going to take place and accurately predict when eclipses are going to happen. And that's that kind
that
of thing.
Incredible.
And it's, considering how old it is, it's such an incredible piece of technology.
Wow.
Is it mechanical, like a watch? Or is it one of those, like an abacus where you move the things yourself?
It's mechanical. So there's got loads of intricate cogs in it. You wind it up and and that's what drives the arm, the movement of it. And then, and that's what makes it work. And the news is that they found this mechanism on the ocean floor that they think was part of it, and it's kind of a round bronze disc with a Taurus the bull on it.
Okay.
So that could have implications because that could have made it much more complicated than they thought.
Oh, right,
it originally was.
Cog
stick
in there. Yeah.
Then that makes you think maybe it could have also been used to measure star signs or something. The year of the bull.
So this really complicated mechanism just got more complicated.
Exactly. And I just think that's incredible. And it makes you think, because, we obviously discussed ancient aliens not long ago.
Yeah.
Ancient technology like this. Mm. When this was discovered in 1901, we didn't know what it was for 50 years.
Mm.
And yet they'd invented it 2,200 years ago. Maybe aliens helped out. You know what I mean?
It really opens up the question of lost technologies, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah.
I know that the All Time Tens team have done a list about lost technologies in the past, mm-hmm. and ancient technologies that have been lost over the years, and it's really interesting to know all the things that were created in the past that we simply don't know about.
And then it all goes back to kind of those mythological stories of Atlantis and things like that, you know, where you hear about, we all dismiss it as a myth, about these crystals powering machines that could fly and all kinds of things. And maybe that is a stretch too far, but it makes you wonder. Maybe there was a place like Atlantis that had complicated machines that nobody could understand how they worked.
Yeah.
And they were just lost. If this was lost. And again, lost at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
Maybe the sea has swallowed many things. Mm. Like humanity's greatest achievements. I imagine this thing was particularly... it must have been really frustrating when that sank. That boat sank or whatever it was. In the inventor of it, it's just like, I worked for years, years making that thing.
Well, yeah. Maybe it was just like, maybe it wasn't even one of a kind. Like you say, maybe this technology was at one point prevalent, and this is just, you know, 10 a penny, you know, there are loads of them.
It was a frustrating thing for archaeologists because obviously one of the reasons we have a period we call the Dark Ages over here in Western Europe is because most things they made, most buildings and most tools had a lot of wood. You know, they didn't make anything that would survive very long in the ground, or once it was discarded, it would rot away or get picked up and eaten by something else. Lots of leather, all that kind of stuff that just rotted away. Our climate doesn't preserve things. So you cast that back thousands of years further, and you've got even more time for things to rot and get destroyed. In the case of metal, you have all kinds of objects, you know, machines that could have been melted down and recast as something else.
Yeah.
You know, and all it takes is and I'm generalizing here massively, but all it takes is a barbarian horde to invade and look at this thing and just like, I have no idea what this is, but it's made of metal. So I'm going to take it, break it apart, and do something else with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Brute strength wins out.
Yeah, every time.
Yeah.
You find even today, though, don't you? People going for cash for gold with their great, 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 great grandparents' jewelry, and you're like, man, you have no sense of value here. There's no sense of worth. Yeah, what it actually is worth. You only look at the 50 quid you can get for it. I'll melt it down, it's fine.
Sad.
Yeah.
So sad.
Anyway.
So I was just reading as well that they reckon it could have had up to 70 moving parts in it.
What?
70 moving parts.
That's crazy.
For something 2,000 years old.
That's mad.
How insane is that?
Do they have an idea of who originally created, like who exactly originally created it?
Yeah, where did it come from?
So it was found, it's the small island called Antikythera, and that's kind of between Greece and Crete. So it's likely from, ancient Greece.
Mm. Okay.
That's where it originated from.
Well, they were smart cookies, weren't
they? They were, I can't remember where I saw it, actually. I might be making this up, but I swear there was something about ancient Greeks and how they came very close to actually inventing steam power.
No.
At some point. Like,
really?
Utilizing steam power. I can't remember where I've read that. But I could have just pulled that out of thin air.
Sounds quite specific to pull out of thin air.
But, like, I don't know where... I think they found some writings with the kind of... the hypothesis that steam makes things rise, so they could, like, use it to move things.
Because the only issue with steam power is you need the fuel. And so until they had coal, which nobody used for a very long time, you wouldn't have been able to have a long burning fuel that would release a lot of energy to enable you to create enough steam to power a train or something.
Yeah.
And I guess if all they... I can imagine that. They have the idea, but they just don't have the fuel. All they have is wood, which can't heat enough water.
It just kind of, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Like, what if that had happened thousands of years ago? Like, imagine if they'd found coal or some kind of fuel power and had just invented steam technology, but 2,000 years ago. Like, what that would have done to human history.
Or would we still be on this Earth?
Yeah, we could be on a different planet. It's a good question,
Yeah,
the way things are going.
All the planets would be named after the Greek gods, not the Roman gods.
Yes.
Yeah. We'd be living in some kind of weird steampunky, but also mixed with Greek. Yeah. We'd all be wearing togas, but in a steampunk
spacemen
world.
Spacemen in togas.
Yeah.
Just going around.
I don't know.
On that note.
Anyway, that was my news story for this week. They basically concluded the story by saying, don't get your hopes up. It could have been from anything.
Oh, right.
Okay.
So okay. It might not be from this machine.
It might not have been. But I thought it was an interesting way of bringing up this mechanism anyway, because we haven't made a video on that, but it's quite an interesting mystery.
No, it's fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Do you know where it is now? Is it in a museum? Does it belong in a museum?
It is in a museum. Bear with me. I'll find out where it is.
It's in a museum. I won't know where it is.
I think it is in a museum that you can go and see, presumably.
Interesting.
It might actually be on the island of Antikythera.
Okay. That's cool.
That's very cool. You mentioned also that there was a particularly interesting comment on one of our YouTube videos that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we doing comments now?
Yeah, let's move on to comments.
So every week we always look at your comments. I don't know about you guys, but it's the highlight of my week.
Absolutely. Other than the quiz on this show.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, so we like to look at some of the funny comments and also some of the more interesting ones. So James,
that's insulting to all of
them. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
So James Thompson asked this, and I kind of wanted to get what your guys' opinions on it. So he says, your videos do a lot of debunking conspiracy theories, which is great, but I wonder what you all think of the myriad of people who come to your videos hoping you'll simply validate their belief. Videos about the, and then he uses the example, like videos about the 2016 American presidential election are swarmed with comments talking about the Clinton family being responsible for murders.
Yes.
And also like any video on 9/11 turns into it was an inside job.
Yeah.
Do we feel like we have a responsibility or influence over the people who come to our channel?
Quite a deep question, isn't it?
It's a really kind of astute question.
Yeah. I'd say that what we do is we present the facts, don't we? We don't necessarily conclude. And in our regular videos, we maybe go a little bit more personal in the podcast, but in our regular videos, we try to leave it open. We try not to take sides.
Yeah.
So we're just presenting the case. Now, I think we do a variety of topics. So some we know will be a little bit more far-fetched, and others will be very much kind of... Some people might comment and say this isn't a conspiracy at all; it's fact. And there's a wide scale of different types of content, and whether we have a responsibility, so that's a tough one. I think the responsibility to give the facts and let people make up their mind. I think if there's indoctrination either way, then you're kind of losing that credibility a little bit. But those are my thoughts.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. The format we've always taken, the approach we've always had, is to present both sides of the argument, not always in as much detail as I'd like, because there's only so much you can do in 7 to 8 minutes, sadly. But I try to keep it as balanced as possible, and let the audience decide, make up their own minds. So, as this commenter suggested, a lot of people, I think, do come to our videos with their own opinions, which is fine. They've got the research done already, and they're seeking to find out a little bit more, and if we can help them find out a bit more, or look at things from a different point of view, then that's fantastic. But yeah, I would hope that we're not influencing anybody except to make them question again their own opinion.
Yeah.
Whether they are against or for any conspiracy theory. You shouldn't take anything for granted unless you can definitely prove it. And there are occasions in our videos where we do, like you say, we cover something that we can prove is just false.
Is the Queen of Cannibals is on the far side.
Yeah, there's the crazy ones which seem unlikely, and then there's the ones that we can say definitely this isn't real. And then I feel obliged to tell the audience this isn't real. Because it's kind of misleading if we don't.
But then also people would say then why cover it? But we don't invent the conspiracies ourselves. We're not putting them out there something that we've come up with, which I think is people often misunderstand.
I mean, that is actually a really good segue into this next comment, which says that, that it's for entertainment. It says, this is badass randomness, says, I don't really believe any of this, but it's just so incredibly interesting and fascinating. I love these videos. Oh, and that almost sums up that kind of there for entertainment as well as having to make a judgment on whether something's true or false, as it were.
No, I think of it the same way that I read the news every day. I read it to find out more about the world. I don't know anything about what's going on in India, but I look at the news and I can find out something. But I'm aware that I'm finding out the British press's version of events.
Yeah, exactly.
So hopefully we're a little bit more neutral. And hopefully we explore things a little deeper than your average news article.
Yeah, and yeah. Talking about exploring things a little bit deeper, the next comment by Pigeon Sky is,
Pigeon Sky is,
I like biscuits. So, you know, I like biscuits. Oh. Two things here.
Yeah.
Firstly, they're probably British. Biscuits.
Well, biscuits instead of cookies.
Biscuits. Yeah. And secondly, what's your favourite biscuit? Or cookie? Or American friends?
Oof.
Your favourite biscuit or cookie? I think I'm a simple man. I like a chocolate digestive.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Decent.
Simple. Classic.
Oh, some people are going to hate me when I say this, but I do love chocolate digestives, but I don't eat them anymore.
Why?
They've got palm oil in.
Oh, it's true. Well, now I feel like a dick.
It's true, yeah. Actually.
a while ago, I made a switch to try to avoid anything with palm oil in that isn't explicitly labelled as sustainably farmed palm oil, because a lot of deforestation that goes on unnecessarily. Yeah. And the poor animals lose their habitats, so that's not nice.
And that's a really interesting point, because I was so close to my news story being the Iceland advert.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
The petition that's gained 750,000, probably more by the time this goes out, signatures about, it's quite British-centric, so I didn't go for it, but basically an advert on TV where there's a little orangutan that visits a girl in her bedroom, and they go through all the orangutan is gender, don't know, has been destroyed because of people exploiting palm oil.
Mm. Iceland has now vowed to have no palm oil in their own products,
which is
great. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Getting there.
Makes me feel less alone. You don't know how painful it is going to the supermarket every day and looking at all the yummy things and they all have palm oil in.
Yeah.
They all have palm oil with no identified source.
Yeah,
some of them might be sustainably farmed, and that's fine.
Yeah,
but very few of them actually label it. So, no digestive biscuits for me.
Fair enough. What would you go for?
Digestive biscuit.
I'm gonna.
There's a particular brand. I don't know if I should mention it because it's a particular supermarket. Make quadruple chocolate cookies.
Waitrose
in Sainsbury's.
Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
Oh.
And they don't have palm
oil. The white chocolate chips as well.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
good.
What's most remarkable. White chocolate typically has palm oil in.
Oh, really?
But they don't have palm oil on the ingredients. So, given the law says they have to label everything that's in there, then I think there's no palm oil in those white chip chocolates.
There we go. So, yeah, I'm a cookie fan too.
Yeah.
The YouTube comments are going to like prove you wrong.
They're going to prove me wrong
and
now.
You're
I'm
just going to be heartbroken.
Utterly ashamed.
What do you think about that whole... you've brought it up now. I'm kind of interested.
The advert.
What do you think about like them banning it from TV?
I think it was always going to be banned, wasn't it?
But in fairness, it's got more traction now, hasn't it?
100%. That was a digital campaign. A bit of inside conspiracy maybe, but they knew that they put that forward to the TV agency. What are they called over here? Ofcom or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
They put it to Ofcom and it's going to get rejected, but they know they can put it online. And so as soon as it says banned advert, everyone's like, why is it being banned?
That's the only reason I watched it, because it said 100%, banned advert. Yeah. 100%.
They probably did put it forward to Ofcom, but just so they could get it has been banned.
To be honest, I think it even said it was ITV, which is one channel, banned it. On the official Iceland YouTube channel, the title was, watch the video that ITV banned.
Yeah.
You know, it says just ITV. According to that.
The other's probably approved in it. Like, nah, don't worry about it.
Yeah. I just mentioned the ban.
Good advert, though.
Yeah.
Regardless of that.
Yeah. I wonder how long they spent on it, because really well animated.
If you haven't seen it, do look it up. Very interesting.
Very long as well.
For an advert, maybe a minute and a half.
I mean, it's like a Christmas advert. I don't know if...
They get it long, right?
They do it in the US, but it's become like an interesting... Or like a changing thing in the UK, where like every major brand now has to do a Christmas advert and spend millions on it.
Because it was John Lewis that started it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
With all their big, popular, moving, 5-minute epic TV Christmas adverts. And then
just to sell knickknacks.
Yeah. And the moment I realised it had become a real thing was when the Tesco Christmas advert a couple of years ago came out, and it was also big and heartwarming and epic. I was like, Tesco's doing it?
And every year they ruin a classic song as well. It's like a good song, and they do a cover version that's awful.
Yeah, but all adverts and movie trailers do that as well, don't they? They just got a tiny voiced woman to do an indie ukulele cover.
I don't diss tiny voiced women, Robin.
Nothing wrong with a tiny voiced woman. I'm just saying
I am a tiny voiced woman at heart, so.
Yeah.
So am I. Little voice, actually. Good movie. Did you see that?
No, I haven't seen that.
Anyway, there's nothing against tiny voice women there. It's just the way the adverts go. You remember, like, Age of Ultron used that Pinocchio song.
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't know if that started the trend, but I feel like that was...
I think that was the first one I can remember, in fairness, when they got a very, like high-pitched, eerie kind of cover song of like Pinocchio's I'm a Real Boy.
I got another comment that I'd like to ask you guys, your opinions as well.
Okay, cool.
From Callum EFC 1878, so I guess that could actually be 1878, now I think about it, who says, what football teams do you lads support, if any?
So, would you want to go first?
Definitely not.
I think out of the three of us, I'd probably...
Biggest football guy.
Football. So technically Newcastle. I say technically, I do support Newcastle. And growing up, I was a big, big Newcastle fan. I still like playing football, but I'm much more into my rugby nowadays for the last 10 years, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
So Harlequins in rugby, Newcastle United football.
All right.
There, simple answer.
Yeah. I mean, growing up, my family's always supported Arsenal. So, if I had to, gun to my head, I'd probably say them, but I haven't watched a game since the World Cup, actually. The World Cup I can get involved with. I like watching the World Cup, but...
Haven't seen our World Cup conspiracy video? Check it out.
Yeah, that's link on screen really right now. I like to stay neutral. Don't like to pick sides.
Then you're always a winner.
Exactly.
Or always a loser.
come the revolution, I cannot lose. everyone will be all right. There was an interesting comment on the Ancient Aliens video as well that I'd like to direct to. It's Kevin 808 says, I think the Earth is a giant UFO, since it's flat and all.
He's trolling.
You think he's trolling? Sounds like
the Earth's a UFO.
I thought he was genuine because he signed it with a little alien face.
Oh, that does make it more legit.
There you go.
Very good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to do with that.
That's what you can do. Let's move on to slightly more earthbound. Conspiracies.
Nice.
Although having said that, it does involve looking up to the sky, because we've all probably heard of HAARP.
Yes.
The facility in Alaska. HAARP is HAARP. It stands for the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, and it's located around 5 hours south of Fairbanks, off the Richardson Highway, if you're interested, north of Gakona, I think is how you say it, in Alaska. Just west of the Wrangell St. Elias National Park. So basically the middle of nowhere. And this is deliberate for a reason, because it was jointly funded by the US Air Force, the US Navy, and the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, aka DARPA. And it cost $290 million. And this is back in 1993. That's a lot of money these days. I don't know how much that would cost. Someone work it out for us, please let us know. And someone we're all aware of, the former governor of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura, says HAARP is a mind control device. Others say it controls the weather. In fact, the Venezuelan president, rest in peace, Hugo Chavez, said it was used to create the 2010 Haiti earthquake, which killed at least 100,000 people, and estimates say it might be as many as 300,000 people.
Quite a claim.
Specifically, he accused President Obama of causing the earthquake with HAARP.
Okay.
So what is HAARP? Officially, it's just a research facility, doing research into the ionosphere. And, scientists use it. And in fact, now it's in the hands of the University of Alaska Fairbanks as of August 2015. But my question has always been, why is the military doing weather research?
That's very true. I mean, weather would be the ultimate weapon, wouldn't it, if you could control it? Wars could be won and fought just by creating a drought, and no one would even know that you've, done anything. It's definitely a military interest if it is weather control technology that they're doing. The same goes for mind control as well.
I think if it's mind control, then there's definitely obvious military application there.
Yeah.
But if it's just atmospheric research, like the military say, I think you're onto something there.
Mm.
Now, Harp actually has a few scientific instruments on site, but the big one that everybody's aware of, because you can see it outside, is the Ionospheric Research Instrument, or IRI. And this is the world's most powerful high-frequency radio transmitter. The one that they've currently got was completed in 2007 by BAE Systems Advanced Technologies, which is the US subsidiary of a British company. Who specialise in defence, security and aerospace manufacturing. Now, the IRA comprises 180 phased array antennae, each standing 72 feet tall. And they're spread out over about 30 acres. And it was managed by the Office of Naval Research and the Air Force Research Laboratory and operated under the Air Force, the Navy and DARPA, and with principal involvement with the University of Alaska Fairbanks. So they were always involved from the beginning, which is why they have possession of it now. It was largely closed to the public, but in August 2015, it was transferred to the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and they've made it available to researchers on a pay-per-use basis. I've no idea how much it costs to use it. I imagine it's not cheap. But they recently started an annual open house day where they let the public in. And the most recent one was on August the 25th, 2018, and about 260 people showed up, including a Japanese film crew. So I'd like to see what they did with the footage they've got. Mm. Now, the facility was, for the most part, open. There were some bits that were still closed off, interestingly.
Mm.
But visitors could wander through the antenna, and they could ask the staff questions. And there were tours, there were science lectures, and there were educational activities as well. Now, regarding the conspiracy theories about mind control and weather control, Bob McCoy, who's the director of the Geophysical Institute at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, says, no, it's not a weapon, and it couldn't be. The way high-frequency radios work is that the atmosphere is transparent to those signals. If we made this 10 times bigger and tried, we still couldn't affect the weather. And as for mind control, electrical signals in the mind are very low frequency, but HARP is very large frequency, and the waves are meters long. So there's no way they could control minds with HARP.
Mm.
He also says that we can transmit signals all around the world. It basically makes the ionosphere a laboratory, and we can do experiments that no one else can do. It's a lab without walls. But an army veteran called Al Zahelski visited HARP during the first open day a couple of years ago. And he says of his experience on the open day, the government tells you some things and the media tells you another. Even though it's open to the public, there's a lot of things they don't tell you about it or what it does.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it, like with some areas closed off, and also once a year, I mean, they've got enough time to, you know, hide away or like put all their toys away.
Exactly,
like a school inspection, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Naughty kids out, they can go on a school trip.
Yeah.
That's happened at our school. Get rid of all the bad kids.
All the bad kids on the day.
They Ofsted are coming around. Yeah. Yeah, no, you're very right. A lot can change if it's very much a planned visit.
Yeah.
You look at North Korea, people come around, they visit the nice parts, don't they? They don't,
yeah,
don't go to the camps,
well,
do they? Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah. It's a mystery. It'd be interesting to know from those people that went there, the Japanese film crew, firstly, exactly what they did in detail, and then, you know, to almost get their notes of what went on and see if there are any, you know, consistent stories. It'd be interesting to know.
What I'd also like to compare it to other research stations, just with how transparent they are compared to other ones.
Yes.
Because I don't know, if they are just a research station for a university, why is it so difficult to like just go there and have a walk around? Like it only happens once a year.
Once a year, yeah.
Can't see everything.
No.
It's like they're trying to pretend, look, we're transparent, you can come visit.
Well, that's the interesting thing. They've actually said in their official statement, the university has said, the reason they're doing these open days is to dispel the conspiracy theories.
Mm.
You know, and from their perspective, I imagine they're saying they think that sounds like there's not really conspiracy theories. Look, come and see. But the way they phrased it sounds like, you're just trying to mislead everybody.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah,
and it still comes back to the question: is why the military are intrinsically involved?
Yes, because clearly the military is still doing stuff. Otherwise, why would they hide stuff?
Yeah, there hasn't been an answer for that in the whole time the harp's been around.
No.
Like or decent enough answer.
What exactly were they doing?
Yes.
Now officially there has been some, someone was once asked, a military official was once asked, what has harp done to help the military? And he said something like, oh, it's enabled us to investigate atmospheric conditions so that we can now communicate with submarines better. And we can use the data collected at HAARP to help civilian scientists do things like make GPS work better and stuff like that.
Okay.
Mm. Which I thought was a bit of a non-answer.
Yeah. I mean, like, how long have you been there for, mate? That's all you managed to do.
you just think like, yeah, how much was it? $280 million.
Yeah, 290.
$290 million. Like imagine going into Dragon's Den, asking for that, and saying what we're going to do is help, you know, communicate better with submarines.
Yeah.
What's that? You'd be laughed at of Dragon's Den. Yeah, or Shark Tank.
Shark Tank.
You'd be laughed at
from American listeners.
Yeah. And then there was there's another quote which I haven't written down, but something along the lines of somebody was asked about the weather control. Say, could you use HAARP as a weapon to use the weather to destroy enemy countries? And their response was, oh, there are parts of the world that HAARP can't reach.
Wow.
That's incredible. He didn't actually say we don't use it as a weapon. He just said we can't reach the whole world.
Yeah.
Checkmate.
I mean, there could be someone just being cocky, couldn't it?
It could, yeah.
Or having a laugh.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
At the same time, it's an odd thing to say.
What a strange way to answer that question.
Yeah.
But I don't know what really goes on there. The fact that it's in civilian hands now is, kind of puts a lot of the conspiracy theories to rest, I think. Because the military are no longer running the show, as far as we know.
Or are they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Shadowing it.
But then, yeah, like I said, as you heard, the university that I've given it to was involved from the very beginning. So it's like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It might not make that much difference.
Yeah.
You carry it on.
Yeah. So it looks civilian and innocent, but actually it's... Yeah.
I mean, that would be interesting if you went to that university and, like, took this... I don't know, whatever activity it was to get you into like HAARP and become like a research scientist. I don't know, you think like, oh yeah, I've been stationed at this research station, and they're like, actually, we control the weather here. Imagine that'd be quite a shock. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the other side of it. It's like, how much testimony has come out from people within HAARP or within the university about it being...
Exactly. Yeah, because I imagine there'd be quite the turnover of people. Like,
there'd be some whispering on the campus.
Oh yeah,
that's been useful.
Yeah, I wonder if it is like a joke on the campus, or if everyone's forbidden from talking about it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
I don't know. I've never been there. Has anyone we know ever been there? Because this university could be empty. There could be no students there.
That's true.
It's one of those fake places.
Like, it's a fake university.
Like that tube stop where nobody ever gets on or off. You're just like, where? Who works here?
So actually, in the London Underground, there are lots of disused tube stops now, aren't there?
Creepy. There's one that someone turned into a restaurant or something.
Like a temporary restaurant.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
In the Evening Standard.
London's mental for that. Like the whole of London.
Yeah.
It's just tunnels, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's mad.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I love to do a tour of certain aspects. Who was it that said under one of the theatres? Justin, potentially. One of our friends, Justin, said that under the theatre he used to work at in the West End, there was a big, like a big well with all the water like racing down into it.
Oh.
It went down into tunnels, and then the tunnels went under the whole of the theatre and then branched off and the rest of London.
Yeah. Scary. You never know what's under your feet.
Yeah, words to live by. Yeah.
Is that Lord of the Rings? Dangerous business.
If I take one more step, I'll be the furthest away from home I've ever been. Anyway, moving on to the news. Moving back to the news. Martin.
Yes. So mine involves the IMF and cryptocurrency. So the headline is, IMF's Lagarde, who's the head of the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, says that central banks could issue digital money. So she was speaking in Singapore this week and said that the IMF could make digital currencies to make transactions between normal people, you and I, safer. So she says that non-cash payments have, of course, increased over the years with the use of debit cards and online transactions. But this has raised challenges, of course, for governments and central banks. So they're basically saying that digital currencies, similar to Bitcoin, could be created by the IMF for national governments to then be distributed.
Wow.
So the thing about this is the whole point of digital currency and cryptocurrencies and the creators of cryptocurrency was to decentralize this power and make sure that, you know, the money, that people could do things anonymously. Even though, of course, we know that there are criminals and, and nasties who use this for purposes that they might not be intended for in the first place. The fact is that that's the whole purpose of it.
Yeah.
So almost hijacking this, you know, the IMF hijacking this and suggesting that they would still have control is exactly against what the creators of cryptocurrencies created it for.
I guess it was a matter of time, wasn't it, before the governments officially got involved and said. I mean, there are some countries have done their own, haven't they? Like Russia's developing its own or developed its own.
The Venezuela as well, because they had real trouble, didn't they, with the economy.
I find it remarkable how long it's taken governments to get involved, in fairness.
It's probably because they've got useless programmers who don't know how to make a cryptocurrency, right?
Quite possibly,
I guess the regulation, they wanted to regulate what's out there first before trying to create their own, quite possibly. And it's died down a little bit now in terms of being on the news and in popular culture. It seems like a very strategic time to be working their way into
it.
So she's basically said that central banks in Canada, China, Sweden, Uruguay were all seriously considering creating digital currencies, which is pretty mad. So she's also said that it would help consumers making transactions safer and more common and actually cheaper as well. So there are definite positives of creating a cryptocurrency. But the fact is, if the power remains in the hands of these national governments, you know, we're at their mercy. As consumers.
Yeah, also, isn't it just replicating the system? You know, if each country has their own currency, cryptocurrency, it's just the same as each country having their own currency now, right?
Yeah, I guess the idea is the transactions are cheaper. Yeah,
but I thought Bitcoin was all about international, kind of anybody anywhere could use it, right?
Yeah.
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 But they're just going to make their own new, each country have their own.
So, my question to you guys is my question would be. Yeah. Is this a grab for power by the IMF after being almost stunned by the rise in cryptos and the rise in Bitcoin's price over the last, December, was it December 2017, when it really shot up?
I mean, that was my follow-up question. Would this, if they did make one, have like a serious negative effect on other cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin? Do you reckon it would?
Surely it would.
Make the value come tumbling down?
Yeah, because people won't need to pursue Bitcoin to the same extent that they have been doing. And the whole value of Bitcoin is derived from its scarcity and demand, right?
Yeah, well, I think there are people use Bitcoin and various others just because not only, I mean, I think there are definitely cryptocurrency purists who are there because it's anonymous. They want to use it for certain transactions and they're very much against this kind of centralized power. But then I think there are others who use it because it's convenient and cheap. And that's almost the side that they are appealing to. They're appealing to the casual user, the person who uses their debit card currently, the person who doesn't like to carry around cash. And you know, hopefully for them, this would be easier. But then it's very much neglecting what a lot of the original developers created it for. And I think that's dangerous.
Yeah. Would you go for it?
Would I go for it?
Yeah. If our government created their cryptocurrency, would you do it?
I think I'd be against it just because I don't believe that should be the purpose of the cryptocurrency. It's a difficult question. I mean, how much power do we have over adopting the status quo and the norm that everyone else is using? That's true. Someone said, you know, like if it was a debit card, you could be against that. But right now, I mean, everyone has one. It's almost impossible to not use one.
Oh, yeah.
For whatever reason.
Like, even to
get your cash out of the machine in the first place.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, it'd be very tough to almost, once the wheel's in motion. But in principle, I'd be against this. Yeah.
I mean, in fairness, though, like look at the amount of fuss that was kicked up when the £5 note turned into plastic. Imagine trying to get everyone in the country using a digital currency.
I think it's a long. It'd be a long game, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I think about it.
I feel like though, if you waited 10 years, then the really fuddy-duddy, incompetent generation of old people would probably have died off by then. And then
maybe.
You got the older people, older generation who are tech savvy, who might be able to pick it up at least. I'm joking.
I think we'll be looking around at least 50 years probably before it's widely adopted.
But then also we'll be the old fuddy-duddy people who don't understand that technology.
I'm frequently terrified by the thought that one day we will be those people who hinder progress by just like, it's not like it was when I was young.
Yeah.
I'm already like that when I hear a 20-year-old saying a word that I don't understand.
Like, yes.
What does that... What?
I've started getting that now.
Yeah.
See, young people say some slang, and I'm like, I have no idea. This is bad. I'm going to have to Urban Dictionary it. I'm cool. I'm hip. But yeah, it's interesting to see how this one will develop, whether they'll actually go ahead with creating it for the national government.
I mean, I'd be nervous if they ever tried to replace normal money with cryptocurrencies, because I know I'm suspicious that one day the system will fail. The internet will go down. Worldwide, something will happen. I don't know, aliens will come down, EMPS or something, and then everyone will have no money.
Well, this really reminds me of the plot of Mr. Robot. If you haven't seen that TV show, really go and watch it. Such a good TV show. But in that, something very similar happens. But
I should watch it.
Digital currency.
But then the markets themselves and all money is based on trust, isn't it? It's based on the belief that the money doesn't have an intrinsic value, but that it represents value. And so it's exactly the same whether it's digital or physical money. It's just maybe there's more case for. Because I think if the internet went down now, the same thing would happen, wouldn't it? Everyone's done online banking pretty much.
Yeah,
No one really uses cash. I mean,
no, that's true.
The same thing would happen, which is worrying.
Yeah, very worrying.
It's very worrying, but it's based on that trust.
That's why I keep my cash in a hole in my back garden.
In the mattress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I keep seeing squirrels running around with £10 notes. It's like, where'd you get that from?
That's nuts.
Hey!
Get out.
He did it. The worst joke
of the day goes to this guy. Anyway, that's my news story, guys.
That's really interesting. I like that. It's kind of, that's about the future. That's about the past.
Oh, yeah.
Alex is about the past.
Mine
was kind of about the weather. Yeah.
Very British. Well done.
Let's talk about the weather.
So, are we going to do our quiz then?
Oh, yeah.
Grudge match. Okay, so let's get on with the quiz, shall we? So, as always, there's 10 questions. And, of course, there's a tiebreaker if, you know,
definitely necessary, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Two intellectuals equally matched.
So, okay, let's get on with the first question.
Don't you want to know what our buzzers sound like?
I would love to know what your buzzers sound like. What do they sound like?
My buzzer sounds like, and I'm glad you asked, Alex.
Doorbell. Mine sounds like...
Classic.
Classic buzzer.
Electrocution buzzer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We've all felt it.
Okay. So, this week, we lost the legendary comic book icon, Stan Lee. However, new reports suggest he was... Come on.
Stanley Lieber, actually.
I will disqualify you from the quiz. However, new reports suggest he was working on a new superhero with his daughter. What was this new superhero going to be called?
Oh, crikey.
No. Oh, Martin?
Daughter Girl.
What's that?
Daughter Girl.
Daughter Girl.
Daughter
Girl. I have no idea.
No.
He's working on his daughter, so Daughter Girl.
Not even her name, just daughter. Go on, Robin.
Excelsior.
No, that would have been great. No. Do you want a second guess or a clue or?
Is it based after an animal?
It's not based after an animal. It's based after. I don't know. It's very
based on. Sorry,
very grounded character, shall I say?
Mole Man.
You're not far off.
No, really.
It's very earth oriented. We say it sounds terrible. I'm not going to lie; it doesn't sound great.
I'm not going to guess. So just go for it.
Dirt Man. He was working on a character called Dirt Man. Apparently,
is he a garbage man by day and a hero by night?
Well, this is the question that people were asking: like, does he create dirt or does he clean up dirt? Like, what's his his superpowers? But not much is known about it. But maybe that will come up and become the next Avenger. Who knows?
I can't think of any good superpower that Dirt Man would have. I take, does he already exist, or would he be written into the comics? Is that the idea?
actually...
I think he'd be written into the comics.
He's actually a pioneering journalist and paparazzo. He gets the dirt.
Gets the dirt on people.
And he dishes the dirt on people.
Nice, nice. Okay, so, well, that's still 0-0 then.
Hey!
There we go.
So, everything to play for as we go into question two. Okay, so... A man named James Oliver, not to be confused with Jamie Oliver, he claimed this week that he was a time traveller and warned of a global warming disaster in our future.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Well, what a surprise. Well, I mean, yeah, that's really prophetic there, isn't it?
What I'm going to ask you is, what year was he from? And the closest answer wins.
2166.
2166. Robin?
2430.
Well... Martin wins because Darn he's closer. It. He's actually from the year 6491.
I don't think I deserve a point there.
At least humanity will be around in 6491.
Yeah.
That's
encouraging. That's encouraging. This is what I don't actually understand, because there's a video of him and he's got a blurred face. But he's apparently from a different galaxy as well. So I don't know why he knows about earthly matters.
What?
And he speaks in perfect English. So so I'm a bit sceptical of James Oliver. And he's called James Oliver, so... I don't know if the first thing he did when he came to Earth was watch some Jamie Oliver and was inspired.
Typical mispronunciation of the alien name, James Oliver.
Very good.
From the galaxy of Betelgeuse.
Nice.
No.
Okay. Just for that, I'm going to give the point to Martin. Okay. So 1-0.
Oh.
So question three.
Doing badly.
Escape artist Pedro Volta got into a spot of bother this week while trying to pay tribute to Harry Houdini. Can you tell me what happened?
He was in a water tank.
What was that?
He wasn't in a water tank.
He was? What happened in the water tank?
I only saw the picture.
Did he nearly drown?
He didn't.
I mean...
Of course he nearly drowned. He went to spot bother.
See, I don't know who to give the point to, Dan.
Was that it? Is that the whole thing?
He was in a water tank and nearly drowned.
But that was
a collaborative effort.
And he was tied up.
And didn't undo the tyings in time.
I'm guessing.
And then they helped him out of the tank.
Yeah, they did.
They had to help. And then he dried off. It's fine. He's fine.
I'm going to give the point to Robin because
he told me that is mental.
He told me what
I said. A water tank.
I guess you said it was tied up.
Like
Harry Houdini.
You didn't tell me what the spot of bother was.
That's ridiculous. That is insane.
There you go. There you go.
Okay. I don't know here.
Let's just say 1-0 still and keep going.
Okay, fine. No one gets the point for that.
No one gets the point.
Maybe I spoke prematurely.
You didn't answer the question.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, Martin. Yeah, that wasn't an answer. He was in a water tank. That's not the spot.
It could have been anything.
Okay.
Was he in America? Well, I mean, yes, but also no.
What do you guys think? Who should have got the point?
I mean, you're going to give the point.
You're not going to give the point,
but who should the point have gone?
Yeah, I genuinely don't know in that instance. I mean, I think Martin...
On a technicality.
Yeah. Maybe with a better host, like, I would have been able to not allow you to answer in time, because I don't know if Martin was still answering the question.
I buzzed in, and he wasn't answering, so, you know.
Fair point. Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't matter.
1-0. 1-0, question four.
Okay.
So, meanwhile, in the US, two Marine Corps pilots were grounded and... Marine Corps pilots were grounded and are being investigated after doing what in the air?
Oh.
Got it in the end.
Go on.
They drew a big penis.
They did. In the sky.
Yes.
Didn't hear about that.
So, Very good. Very nice.
But they did it in a weird way. It wasn't like when they use smoke or vapor trails to create a penis. They did it with GPS tracking.
Yeah.
So their flight paths were mapped out at the base were a giant penis.
Yep. And they're now being investigated for that.
For what?
Yeah, what's the investigation?
There's no investigation to do.
Yeah, you just did it. You did this, didn't you? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it wasn't.
So they're going to sit there saying, I didn't intentionally.
I'm not a pilot.
Okay. I didn't even know what a dick looks like.
Exactly.
Okay, so one each as we go into...
Yeah. No.
As we go into question five.
One each.
One all. Is that better? I'm going to start taking points away soon. Last week, a clip of a father and son at a football match went viral. Can you tell me why?
Yes. Oh. So the boy, there's a boy who's kicking the ball towards the goal.
Yeah.
It's moving quite slowly. And the kid who's in goal is talking to the dad. And he's talking. And the dad sees that the ball's about to go into the goal. And instead of telling the kid to save it, he just pushes it in front of the ball. And then the ball is saved momentarily, but then someone follows up and scores, and the dad just goes and flings his arm in despair.
It's
And it was in Wales.
It's an amazing clip.
I haven't seen that.
Really, I've seen it about 50 times. Yeah. It's so good.
That's really watch it. A horrible, horrible parent.
Yeah.
Flies through the air.
It's pretty funny. So yeah, well done, Martin. You got the point for that. So 2-1.
Okay.
So question 6. What is Colin Dictionary's word of the year this year?
Oh, I do know this.
Oh, that's two words.
No, it could be.
Me too.
Me too was one of the options, like one of the most likely. So that's a good guess, but it's not me too.
I do know this. Wait a second. Brain.
I need an answer, Robin.
You do need an answer. Fake news was last year, wasn't it?
I'm not giving hints to my opponent.
I think it was.
Yeah.
So I give
I don't know.
So I give you a clue.
Yeah, that's clear, that's clear.
It was. It relates to the environment, I guess, and particularly, I think one of the big topics over here was the straws, plastic straws, like being banned.
Is this a clue for both of us? Or?
Yeah,
it's a clue for both of us. Yeah.
Oh, I do know it. I just.
I think enough time's passed that if you want to buzz in again, Martin,
yeah,
you
definitely
can.
You can definitely have a guess. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Any guess? Any takers? Do you want to have a guess, Martin? So it relates to objects or items, shall we say, that have a limited use.
Oh, goodness. Oh, yeah.
I've literally given you one part of the word.
Yeah, something single use.
Single use is it?
Very good.
Not sure you guys deserve the points there.
I don't think I do. I took far too long to get that.
You said use.
Okay.
Single use. Yeah, I think you deserve
a point. No, I don't deserve a point for that.
I'm going to say 2 each.
Oh, what?
Just to keep it interesting.
Does that count as a score?
Yeah.
The official score is 2-2.
2 each.
2 each. He's just placating me, isn't he?
2 each. Don't become a sports commentator.
Okay. Thanks.
Well, thank you.
2-2.
Better.
Question 7. Billionaire philanthropist and Microsoft founder Bill Gates gave a speech this week next to a jar filled with what? I'm guessing Robin's buzzing in right now.
I'm going to buzz.
There we go.
Wasn't it poo or something?
It was. It was human feces.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He was. He was speaking in Tokyo, I believe, about toilet technologies. And like I think hygiene and that kind of thing. He's really big into. So,
yeah. His hygiene.
Good. Yeah.
Do you like hygiene? Yeah.
So it's 3-2 to Robin, and you earned that point. So well done.
I think that's the first point I've earned. Yay!
Okay. Question 8. So this is relates to conspiracies.
Oh.
I think I've just actually copied and pasted the title, so I'm going to read it as it's written. Shock discovery last week as what was found on Google Maps by online sleuths. I think I took out what it actually was from the title.
But okay. Mm.
So it was something
Shock
was
discovery.
Found on Google Maps by online sleuths.
Darn it, they're always finding stuff.
And sleuths.
I love that
phrase? Sleuths.
Right, yeah. Hmm. These Sherlock Holmes of the internet.
Atlantis.
You nailed it. Yes,
really?
Spot on. It's Atlantis.
No way.
Wow.
Great.
Wow.
Great leap cool. in the dark. I mean,
I thought there were copies of that Disney movie around everywhere.
Hey.
Any Google Maps to find it?
Yeah, so apparently it's in the Sahara Desert.
Of course it is.
In Mauritania, northwest Africa, and it's actually a known structure called the Eye of the Sahara, and it's it's this strange structure that's kind of like circles, and no one
like
actually
concentric,
no one actually knows what caused it. They think it's like a natural formation.
All I can think of is Uncharted 3 right now.
I've never played Uncharted 3.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It is kind of compelling when you look at the pictures. But I don't know why they said that, you know, people online found it when this is a known thing.
Yeah.
people have done research into it. But
people online who don't read enough.
Yeah, exactly. But that was in the news.
I mean, if you're spending all your time looking through Google Maps and stuff, you're probably not doing much reading, are you?
Well. So three all. So three all as three we head all. Into question nine.
Oof.
So close quiz. Okay. Elon Musk has been under fire again this week,
man.
Facing pushback on a new product he wants to make. What product is it, and who is opposed to it?
A new product.
Yeah,
new product.
I don't know if you guys keep up with Elon's Twitter feed. It's less ambitious, shall we say, than some of his other ventures. It's more just, you know, yeah, down to earth.
Was that a clue?
No, that wasn't a clue.
Then I'll rethink.
It's got the name of one of his companies in the name of the product, if that's any indication.
Well, Tesla or SpaceX, those are the only two companies he has, right?
Oh, he's got the boring company.
The Tesla Hoover.
No, but you're along the right lines. Obviously not with Hoover. It's right. Not a Hoover. But
The Tesla Coil Mark II.
No, that's not it. No.
That would be controversial.
Tesla fridge.
I'll say it's an alcoholic beverage.
Oh. Tesla vodka.
Nope. You're going to kick yourself.
Tesla beer.
Tesla whiskey.
You have to buzz in, and you can't buzz in anymore.
Tesla whiskey.
No.
Oh.
I'm just going to tell you. Yeah. It's called Tesla Keela.
Tequila. It's basically just based on a pun.
Yeah.
But the Mexican tequila industry oppose it, as they think it will drive confuse people, and because tequila is actually a trademarked name.
Is it?
It's not like whiskey or
really
something else. Tequila is like its own thing.
Tequila, then what? I don't know if anyone knows, what does it mean? Does anyone have any idea?
No idea.
What it means? It means something?
Tequila.
Is it a region?
It's a place.
Tequila. So like champagne, you can't just create it anywhere. You have to create it in the champagne region.
Right.
Stilton, Moulton Mowbray pork pies.
Cheddar.
These are all British centric, so apologies if you're not British.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone knows it comes from beer.
So, none of you got the point for that. Neither of you.
None of you too.
I'm this close to just disqualifying both of you. There'll be no more mocking of the host.
Don't worry, Alex. I got a question significantly wrong last week.
When did Charles Darwin die?
Shut up.
If they were alive today...
I know I look like a fool, okay?
If they were still alive today, who would be older? Julius Caesar?
Are you actually...
This is the actual question.
Or Michael Jackson?
Very good. Very good. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Question 10. So, I think one of you should get this, maybe.
Oh, that's encouraging.
So it's three all, still. What is the densest planet in the solar system?
Whoops.
Did you... Martin? Oh.
No, it was... Go ahead.
Neptune.
That is incorrect.
That's silly, actually.
Pluto.
That is also incorrect. No. That's incorrect.
What is it?
So it's the densest planet.
Do you want to have another? It's going to be Venus?
No.
Damn it.
Okay. You're running out of planets.
Mercury?
No. Okay, well, look, it's Earth, okay?
Really?
I was just like, is it going to be Earth?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Crazy.
Okay, well, I mean, we've got to move on to the bonus question.
He's so stupid.
You just don't think of it, do you? You don't think of it.
Yeah, that's true. You don't tend to think of your own one, do you? Okay, so bonus question. Are we ready? So this week we saw the trailer for Pokemon Detective Pikachu. I don't know if you saw the trailer for that, but it was weird. I thought
it was very strange.
Weird, but promising. Yeah, strange,
don't
right?
know what I feel about it. Ryan Reynolds playing Pikachu, but
as long as it goes Deadpool and Pikachu starts killing people, I'm fine.
But my question is, did you know this was based on a game? That's not the question. This was based on an actual video game, and my question is, when was this video game released?
1998.
I'm going to go for 1978.
1978 and 1998.
I think I might have won.
Oh, it's a Pikachu. Oh, it's a Pokemon game. Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize.
It was invented in 95.
Sorry, I'm really tired. Anyway. It's all right. 2003.
I mean, I'm going to take your first guess, I think.
That's fine.
Yeah, it was 2016.
Oh, really? That recent?
Yeah, the game is called Great Detective Pikachu, Birth of a New Duo, and it was originally released in Japan in 2016.
I was not listening to the question.
It was only released this year in Europe.
Because I swear I've seen... Oh, was it in one of the movies? They had, you know, they had the, in the animated movies, they have those short films which preface the main story, and they're about the Pokemon. And I remember one of them had, maybe it was called Detective Pikachu, because I swear it's been years since I saw the whole Pikachu with a Sherlock Holmes hat on, you know, Deerstalker. So I guess the game was...
Only came out recently.
Wow, that's way more interesting
than I thought. That's like all those 1980s songs that were actually made in the like mid-70s. Loads of them that were covered in the 1980s.
Yeah.
They were actually only made like 3 years before and then became massive hits.
There's tons
of like most, a lot of Whitney Houston songs. Yeah.
Yeah, crazy, isn't it?
In fairness, yeah, maybe it's then like, maybe the game was then based on something else previously.
Ooh, this is interesting.
It is.
Very good. Well, well done.
Yeah. Was it a good
I completely
game?
Messed that up.
Robin, you are today's champion.
By default, I think. not really by my own wits or endeavours.
Well, I'm looking forward to next week when I don't have to be the quizmaster because you two are an absolute
nightmare. We are terrible, aren't we? Dealing with. We are a terrible audience.
Yeah. So there you go. Well done, Robin.
Thank you very much.
Very good. Enjoyed that.
I don't feel like I won that, but I'm glad. I'm grateful for the opportunity you've given me.
Well, I definitely lost.
To improve my scorecard. Yeah, maybe you lost.
You won, definitely. But well, I lost, you know.
I think we all, in a way, lost.
Maybe let myself down for a second week in a row. Well, thanks, guys.
Well, thank you very
absolute
much.
Pleasure to speak to you.
As always. I enjoy these get-togethers and our discussions of the news. I learn something new every week. And it's great. And I hope you guys at home enjoy it too. As always, thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.